Welcome to Geeks On, a show created by geeks for geeks, covering topics that geeks like to talk about. For more information about the news and links we talk about on the show, go to our website at www.geeksone.com.
We're like already in the middle of it.
Of
Geeks On.
You're right. Welcome, everybody.
Welcome, my geeklings.
How have you been? Have you missed us? We're all alone in our studio this week.
I know. It's
no
lonely.
Guests, just the four of us. No guests at all, except for Maureen. Hello, Maureen. And now she's gone.
That's right.
She didn't want to hear us record, so the door is now closed.
Yes. Back to the old format.
Yeah.
Just us.
Just for Matt.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. And Aaron cleaned, which is just surreal.
I cleaned the multi-million-dollar studio we have in here.
Oh, you got cleaning to come in and...
Yeah. Right.
Maintenance has just been falling down on the job. I don't know what's wrong with them lately.
Yeah, Aaron's been in a labor dispute with the cleaning union.
Is that the picket line I crossed this
morning? That's what it was.
We're in the penthouse of a large building. It looks over over Hollywood.
Yeah.
And our studio has a giant giant glass wall.
It has a giant G on the top of the building.
Right, exactly.
And I have to say, this cognac your maid served me is swill. Swill!
Sorry. No. I had to spend the money on the window cleaner because these windows are so huge.
Yes.
Anywho.
How you kids doing? Did you have a good geek week?
I had a pretty good geek week. I finished Far Cry,
look at that.
Single player, which is a great game.
Wait a second, you finished the video game?
So now it's basically a fair game for all of us to try and borrow from you right now.
True, except for I'm really into, they have a map maker for multiplayer, which is freaking awesome.
Okay, yeah.
I haven't even played the maps, and I've already made four.
Okay,
I saw
the demo for that.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it looked incredibly cool, so easy to place them as well.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can knock out a map in no time.
Okay. And really?
Water vehicles, water scooters you're flying around on, ATV vehicles.
Do you remember the news story that I did about people being able to create their own multiplayer dungeons with that new...
Yeah.
They're comparing that online to Far Cry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so...
Well, this is pretty fun. I wish you guys would go rent it so we could play some of these multiplayer maps, because you can make them as big or small as you want.
I have free time now, so that's entirely on my plate.
Excellent. Go rent a Far Cry, and let's play a couple of rounds. I mean, you could make these maps, I think, really cool for even a 2-on-2.
Right.
You don't have to have 16 people playing, because you can scale the maps to what you want. I made these small little islands with mountains on Sniper Mountain. Mountains on the top and water vehicles you can shoot through, ravines and all sorts of crazy stuff.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's very fun. And so I bought the new Brothers in Arms video game.
Is that two? Brothers in Arms 2?
Well, it's just another chapter in Brothers in Arms.
Okay.
That would be two.
Well, I'm starting to dislike this.
Not anymore.
Yeah,
two comes way down the road. They just belt out a few more scenarios first, using the exact same engine.
And I can embrace that. I don't need to wait 3 years for the sequel. I really loved the last game, and so I went out and bought this one. It looks very similar. It runs next to the character that you played in the last game, and sometimes you cross over, so you're playing even in the same area, which, some people are like, well, it's the same building, it's the same countryside, but yes, it's World War II. Hello.
Right.
But the game was so great, I just went and snatched this one. And this one, the damn Germans move around. They're not like the...
They're not
sitting ducks they were. They used to just sit in one, area. And yeah, they would duck behind, a barrel, or they would duck behind an alleyway. But here, you'll see them run past an alleyway. And then, because I'd played the old game, I would wait and look down the alleyway because I knew they were just right there. No, they moved around, outflanked me, came around my side, and just completely wiped me out. So, or if you start outflanking them, normally what you would do is lay down suppressive fire, and then move one team around to the side, shoot, rinse, and repeat.
Right.
Here, you kind of do the same thing, except for if they see you move a guy and they're out on the start outflanking him, they'll try to run, and they'll try to maneuver around to, so that they aren't outflanked. Wow. So they'll just start running. Which is pretty cool. So that's suddenly cool. I'm like, whoa, hey, what the hell? You know, I can't use my old tricks here, you know, because I was burning through the old game. Now I'm like stuck again.
Yeah.
It's very cool. It's cool to see that Germans like change position. Like, they just won't be there anymore. So you have to go and search.
Kind of I love that.
Damn,
I
those Germans.
That. Oh, now, sneaky on Germans.
On the same note, the demo for Call of Duty 2 came out this week, which you can download offline.
Really? Oh. For PC.
For PC.
I've got that on order.
Store.
I hear that's coming out launch day. I'm hoping for the 360. If not very close to, because that looks like the game for me for the 360. Right.
If it's anything like Call of Duty 2 for the PC.
It's supposed to be better than the one for the for the PC, I heard, is graphic-wise.
I'm not going to pass any judgments. I can't talk about it, but my God. Just the demo, amazing.
See, I'm on the demo. Opposite end of the video game spectrum. I've been playing Dark Watch, which is this vampire western.
Oh, yeah.
Because, hey, let's combine everything with Western now.
I made this prediction.
That got a good review, though.
I made this prediction back when we started the series that the Gothic Western would be the next big hot genre.
You did. It's
It got a good review, though.
It's got good. Remember why we liked Halo?
What platform?
Xbox.
Xbox.
I think you could play it on PlayStation as well. But Halo we liked because it had great pace.
Right.
This game has great pace, and you can basically get to a new decision, and each one of those decisions you decide whether to go good or bad. And that's all it is. And every time you do that, you get a little new power.
Right.
So you can decide. You can play the game again with all these different powers and get through it in a different way. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of neat, and also the way they use the first-person engine is kind of neat. But just graphically, it's assy.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just, I mean, and everybody, you remember that stand-up shooter that used to be in arcades? It was like Hall of the Dead or whatever.
House of the Dead.
And everything just ran at you and flailed? Mm-hmm. That's this game.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
the way
fun.
Area 51, which I thought was going to be a great first-person shooter, it just had a lot of potential, in my opinion. It came out recently, you know, it was like 7-8 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Same problem. It had the flailing alien or zombie or whatever they were just running toward you, and they were the same exact thing.
Over and over again.
With the same flail. So you just felt like it was a repeat. Like, in Halo, the grunts were the same thing.
But they had naturalistic movements.
Like, and they seemed to have their own little individual personality. Like, they would run different ways, and, some would run toward you, someone would dodge, and you felt like it was a different one.
Mm-hmm. They all kind of sounded like Jar Jar, which made them incredible fun to kill.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, no!
I'm telling you,
the demon is here! The demon is here! He's coming! Run! I had the same problem, and I just turned it off. I'm like, come on. This is just old, too old school.
Well,
I played Dark Watch back when we went to G3, and I wasn't that impressed. It didn't make me excited.
The coolest thing is that
the demo for Shadow of the Colossus is out now.
Ooh.
I know, I've played it like 100 times. Right. I mean, I seriously cannot wait for this game.
You burned Ico in like a week, didn't you?
It's a short game, but I was so hooked. And then I played it again.
Try that again. Everyone raves about
it. The great thing is you can replay Ico again in like 4 or 5 hours because you know the tricks. And it's still awesome to play. You just kind of speed through it. It's like a movie in a way at that point.
Sitting on the floor of my car right now is a large assortment of demos for things I'm looking forward to playing.
I've got that X-Men game.
Which one?
The one you can play online, four-person. It's like Gauntlet X-Men.
Oh, really?
Online, yeah. Xbox Live.
I'll pick it up for us.
Okay.
I have it rented.
I'll buy a copy off you.
Hey, what was that game? There was a game that we were looking at G3 that I was so excited. E3.
G3.
G4, oh, yeah, E3.
Right.
Your Mac is showing.
Yeah, there you go. But it was the one where there were millions of zombies that you killed.
Dead Zone? Not Dead Zone. The one where you're a reporter?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That's coming out for the 360.
Oh, yeah. That's 360?
Yeah.
I cannot wait to see that game. It just looked like so much fun.
Yeah, what is that called? Dead Rising or something like
that?
Can't
figure it out.
Oh, God, that's going to drive me crazy. Yep. I hate that.
We'll try to find it and put a link, like an IGN link.
Oh, that's going to bug me.
Everybody who's listening to us knows
they're
it.
They're screaming right now.
On the Treadmaster right now.
Yeah. All right. Do we have any geek news this week?
No.
I forgot about
none.
It.
Okay. Do we have a topic this week? No?
Excellent.
All right. Let's do
thanks
some
for listening,
mail.
Guys.
Geek mail, we're done.
15-minute show.
I got one.
Should we do intros?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, whatever. Hi, this is Peter. And I am a writer in Los Angeles. And I am a geek.
I should interrupt here and basically say we are recording at 10:30 in the morning again, which is our regular schedule, which we haven't been able to do for many months now.
Yeah.
So we're back on a weird energy roller coaster this morning.
You're not recording at 10 o'clock at night anymore.
Please ride along with us.
Exactly. It's like, good morning. Hang on. Let me get my coffee.
Yeah, I have a bowl of crack and milk in front of me right now.
I am Matt. I'm an actor here in Los Angeles, and I, too, am a geek.
I am Donald Marshall. I am a writer in Hollywood and a video game professional, and I am not a geek. I'm completely mainstream.
Liar.
Standing by that story.
And I am Aaron Hendricks, a filmmaker and graphic designer here in Hollywood, and I am also a geek.
Excellent.
Hooray for Hollywood.
Peter, you were going to do some news, right?
Oh, yeah, news.
News.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, isn't Bear doing our theme song?
He's offered to, so we have to.
Ooh,
Bear so rocks.
So exciting.
Can we get some of that choral Celtic chanting in there?
Yeah, well, like, we have to talk about it after this, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
we'll do the chanting. We should sing.
That would be great.
Geeks on sings. We should do a musical episode.
You know how that would not be great if you heard me?
That's okay. If there were people in Buffy that couldn't sing and they put it off.
Aaron, you have...
Aaron, you just have to speak. You know, you'll have your speaking lines.
Today in the news, they're playing polo on Segways. And they're powered by blood batteries and urine.
Nice, Don. After Peter finishes, you have to tell the story of your embarrassment, the song singing in the mall.
Oh, gee. No one wants to hear that crap.
Yeah, they do. They totally want to hear it.
I still haven't heard this.
All right, go. Sorry.
Okay. So researchers in Sweden claim to have developed a new computer model for predicting earthquakes that correctly forecast devastating earthquakes.
Ooh.
At least when they're looking backwards.
Oh, okay.
Well, so they have to see if it works forwards.
So they can predict things that have already happened?
No, I get this.
Their computer model, you know, based on, you know, looking at certain things, will tell you when an earthquake was going to happen, looking at the data that they have.
Oh, okay. So they can see if it worked by then checking the history record to see if one existed.
Okay.
Got it.
The only problem with this is that
I can tell you when an earthquake was going to happen last year, too.
Yes, well, you're a talented man. the problem with this is that, you know, people have said this before, and it works for maybe an earthquake or two, and then it misses a big one. So, but basically...
it only gets anything up to a 4. Great.
So, but the other thing that they talked about that I thought was really interesting... Well, one of the things is they talk about this thing called a B value, which is a frequency that they listen to that tells them about stress that's happening in the Earth.
Oh, really? Okay.
And they've known about this for a while, and that it did relate to earthquakes in some ways. But their computer model is supposed to be more accurate in terms of understanding it. Now, the other thing that I thought was really cool was they started talking about earthquake satellites that may change things soon. And earthquake satellites are new satellites with interferometric synthetic aperture radar.
I'm impressed.
Well, come on, tell me that's not a musical cue.
That's an acronym just waiting to happen.
Yeah. INSAR.
Synthetic
INSAR.
INSAR.
Will illuminate the stresses in the Earth's surface. INSAR uses low-angle radar images of a landscape to determine changes in the surface over a very broad regions. To within a couple of inches. It can detect slight deformations in the Earth's crust, which may indicate strain prior to an earthquake.
Wow. Now, so stress and a lack of B vitamins
right
makes an earthquake.
So
you're slurring a lot this morning. Or have we been drinking?
Good morning. we just woke up. But as someone who lives in Los Angeles, I find this very exciting.
It could be very exciting.
I mean, looking at I not to be a Mr. Downer or anything, but I've been looking at the response for the other emergencies we've seen across the United States recently.
Yeah.
And I can't help thinking, you know, if...
And an earthquake's much more like
the high grand center of all blue states got blown off the map right now. We wouldn't be looking at very much aid from Washington.
No.
You know?
Well, what I learned is, and I knew this beforehand, but it just reinforces, you need to be able to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's always has been on this planet and always will be.
Is that why you bought the lightsaber?
Yes.
Okay.
Out of curiosity, who has an earthquake kit?
Peter.
I'm going to load up my garage with some stuff, though.
Yeah, can I load up your garage with some stuff?
It means you have to be able to get to my garage.
I can do that.
I have no place to store a salad bowl, let alone an earthquake kit.
All right, Matt, you have some news?
Yes, sadly, very sadly, Stately Wayne Manor from the 1960s Batman TV show. Burned to the ground.
That sucks.
Now, is this because of the fires?
I don't think so.
So this was a isolated case.
It might have
case.
Been, but they didn't mention it in the article, at least that I read. But it went up in smoke, literally.
That's so sad.
It's just like the end of Batman Begins, except with a better mansion.
I liked the mansion in Batman Begins.
Right, but this is Stately Wayne Manor. Come
on. This is true.
Come on. And the Batcave's up near my house, too. So, or actually why up near your house.
Why did the one in the movie burn down with something stupid?
Yeah, he got into a fight with Ra's al Ghul.
And they burned his house down.
And they burned his house down.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Which gave him a reason to rebuild and create the
rebuild
real
his life
Batman.
And his home.
Well, my news story.
Nice.
A Bulgarian has become the first ever European heavyweight chess boxing champion.
Kick ass.
Wow. Now, what is chess boxing?
Chess boxing. The World Chess Boxing Organization, WCBO.
I was going to say.
Oh, my God. Don't tell me this is like real-life Archon. You move to you play the game, and when you hit the square, two boxes come in and battle
really
it out.
I really wish it was. I really
oh,
wish
that
it
would
was.
Be so cool.
But it's close.
Pay-per-view.
I would so watch that.
No, you get the best arena fighters with the two best chess players, and you play real-time Archon on pay-per-view.
Your top-ranked fighter is your queen.
Yeah.
People who have never had a class in fighting are the pawns.
No. You have to get like a chick for like a cat fight chick for the queen. Come on.
No. You got to break it up. Make the chicks the bishops or something.
Okay.
You know? So that when they move diagonally across the board, they must do it in standard action movie chick fashion where they backflip across the board.
Right.
You know? Anyway, the World Chess Boxing Organization organized the event where the so-called chess boxers went through interchanging 4-minute rounds of chess and 2-minute boxing rounds. According to the rules, in a maximum of 11 rounds, a KO or checkmate can lead to an early victory.
I've wanted to do that a lot when I've played chess online. Because God knows, when I played chess online, I gave it up purely because too many people talk shit about chess. Oh, yeah, who just took your horse? Who just took it? It was me. I did it. What you gonna do? I'm like, you're playing chess at 3 a.m. in Los Angeles. What? Come on. Come on, man. Really?
Well, I mean, what are you supposed to sit there and just...
I mean, what do you...
Quietly stare at the piece?
Yes.
Yep.
It's battle chess. Well, come on. Bring it on.
If it was battle chess, then yes. You know, that'd be great.
I think you can pitch...
Real-time Archon.
I would watch. I would so watch.
I think you could pitch that. I think you could really pitch that.
You have two people playing a chessboard. He moves a piece, and when they get on there... They battle for the space. So a pawn could technically take out...
No. What you do is you make... All the pawns are lightweight fighters.
Oh. Okay.
Oh, that works. Yeah.
That would be just a beating.
The rooks actually get like some sort of defensive, like the castles.
Yeah.
They get some
like
a shield or something.
Body armor or something.
Body armor.
You know there's some crazy-ass fighters who would sign up for this.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. If you were paying.
But how would the king work? Because, you know, the object is to get to the
Wait,
king.
Wait, you don't have to make them necessarily better than each other. I mean, each person can just be ranked, and that's how they get placed.
Yep.
And then
ranked within your league? Or ranked.
No, no, no. The king is the actual person playing chess. So if they get to you, they're going to beat the crap out of you.
There
so
you go. There you go.
There's some motivation to keep your people around you.
And then the queen is a sumo wrestler, and if you can get the person out of the box, then you automatically win. You know, like you don't, have to, knock anyone out. You
see,
you, like,
be a rules variant. Yeah. And if your pawn can get to the far side of the board, you get to bring in any of your excellent fighters that you've lost.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll look into it.
Although, that could,
how can we pitch that?
We can do this. We can totally do this.
I think we could pitch that. But, like, pitch it as a real reality show.
Well, let's see. Our viewers here might watch. I mean, I know, you know, they're geeky enough to watch that stuff. So that's about 1,500 or 2,000 people already.
Done.
$35 a piece on pay-per-view.
We can do this. We just need to rent an arena.
We could almost pay for the insurance.
I can get the martial artists.
Yeah, exactly. Almost pay for the insurance on one guy.
Yes. All right. I have a. This is a rumor because I'm the rumor guy.
Kick ass.
Again. You haven't had a rumor in a while.
I know. Apple's to hold a special press conference event on October 12th, and they usually show something. In fact. After they showed the iPod or the iPod Nano, they said, "Well, later on, they said, well, hey, we've got something else up our sleeves, so, you know."
Not the iPod phone.
Well, no, that's already been announced.
Right.
A lot of people are, including the Apple Insider, they're expecting Apple to put out already, I didn't think it would happen this early, a iPod video device.
Interesting.
Like recording video? Or
well, almost like
video.
A PlayStation Portable, which okay. would be a... like, well, like an iPod that would be able to put video on
it. Did you hear about the virus on the PSP?
I hear that's not entirely a virus, but okay. we can talk about
it. It's nasty. It's killing it.
But that's interesting. I didn't think it would happen so soon. It... may not, but that's the prediction by Apple Insider.
See, I heard something similar, but different. Because my news story is actually the same thing, but the opposite.
Oh, okay.
Okay. What I heard
was... Okay, Humpty Dumpty Land, what was with that?
What is Humpty Dumpty Land?
I don't know. I think we need to start sedating Matt before we record.
Well, come on. No, just it was the same, but different, and then...
Oh. It's the same, but I heard that there have been a lot of rumors about the video iPod.
Right, for like 2 years.
But that in this case, they said that it's not they probably have the technology for it, but they're not going to release it yet.
So they don't think they're going to announce it.
They don't think they're going to announce it, but the reason for that is because they haven't gotten the contracts with the movie studios.
Oh, right. Well, I see what you
that's
mean.
That's the biggest problem. That's the biggest problem with PlayStation Portable is you have to buy their little UMD device, and Apple's not going to compete with that right now.
Right.
So they need some way of being able to load video on there, like iTunes, directly without a disc or anything.
Yeah, I think that's what they're gonna do is, you know, that's what they're probably pushing for.
Right.
You know, but there's no way to really release, I don't think, an iVideo device
without that
without being accused of just rampantly supporting piracy.
Well, now I see what you mean by the same but different.
Yeah. I agree. I don't think that, and that's the problem with the PlayStation Portable is that they claim that it's this all in wonder device, and yet they have zero support for any of the features. You can play video games, okay. You can buy their UMDs, fine, but loading photos on there, pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. Loading music on there, pain in the ass. I mean, you have to be a computer guy or a hacker to actually use the device with its many functions.
Yep.
Why doesn't Sony have their own software that allows you to put photos on there and organize? Or MP3s?
The brilliance of Apple. They make everything easy.
Well,
download music? Hit a button.
My argument is going to be, though, the first product to hit the market is always going to be slightly more complicated than is really, you know, good.
Well, that's not necessarily the case.
They got to just think it out.
The iPod was not that complicated.
No.
The iPod was also not the very first one of its type.
True.
There were MP3 players long before the iPod.
And
those were often very difficult to use for the average person.
Okay. Good point.
All right. Well, I'm done with mine.
Pita?
That was it. I followed up
Ooh.
On his.
I like that. It was sort of a segue. Yeah. All right.
Speaking of segways.
Polo.
Yeah.
Segway polo.
No segway polo.
I want to play segway polo. I so want to play segway polo.
There's this weird guy who works on the film set that I work on, and he rolls around the set on a segway. It just turned me off to them.
Really?
Yeah, it's weird. He just kind of rolls up like some strange sci-fi creature and goes, "Hey, Matt, good morning."
And then he was gone.
Yeah, it's you don't
just sounds like a dork.
He doesn't roll around the interior. He uses it to get to the set.
No, everywhere.
Within the set.
Everywhere. Yeah.
It's a little strange.
There's a Segway store down in Santa Monica I just walked by. I think I want to go down.
There's one here in Hollywood.
Where?
I want to say it was on Highland somewhere.
Oh, we should check it out.
Yeah, let's go
and Segway race.
Oh. You know that doesn't count as exercise, right, Aaron?
Says who?
Hang on, I do have
exercise
another...
Exercise Nazi.
Yeah, whatever.
I have a little quick... I will come up with an
See, I knew you needed story. A news story.
Okay. Last night, I met a lady who's telling me about her son.
Hey, you're married.
Who is a Uber geek.
Mm-hmm.
And she said that today he's going to a DDR competition.
Oh, shit.
Dance Revolution.
Where can we go? I want to see.
We could probably look it up on the internet. I'm not sure where it is.
We should go.
Today.
We should interview people.
I think it's today or tomorrow, one of the two. I'm not sure which.
We should totally go and interview people.
That'd be fun.
Because this is a video game which made me go, I'm old, I can't play video games anymore.
No, there's someone I work with, used to work with, he moved to another company, but he was he placed third in the Los Angeles Regional Championships for DDR.
Jeez.
And they DVD recorded this thing. I mean, there's a DVD all over the place. You can actually find it on the internet, too. Showing the different people, including the three winners.
Wow.
They are good. They are, I mean, it's not just like, you know, they show in the cartoons or, you know, on the news of just people whose legs are moving really fast. It's not even like the kids that you see at the arcade.
Right.
These are people that are doing full spins. They're using their head to hit the pads.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy ass shit, and they're good. We should go.
At what point do you figure that out? I don't know. Anyway. So, fake testicles scoop the Nobel. Just want to let you know that. Ig Nobel, but
scoop
the Nobel. Yeah,
got it.
Greg Miller mortgaged his home and maxed out his credit cards to mass produce his invention, prosthetic testicles for neutered ducks,
which are called neuticles.
Neuticles. I can't say without
this
laughing.
Is just morally wrong. Somehow. I'm not sure how to support that.
It's to help dogs cope with the loss of their testicles.
Mm-hmm. Now, on top of that,
do you think dogs notice?
He thinks they do.
He's created them in three different sizes.
Yep.
And three different degrees of firmness.
Yes.
Whoa.
Okay. Now wait. Now.
No. This is going to turn into a peanut butter story, isn't it?
What I got to follow up on that is his quote. Quote, considering my parents thought I was an idiot when I was a kid, this is a great honor. He said, I wish they were alive to see it.
He's proved them wrong.
Yep. But he has sold more than 150,000 of his neuticles, more than doubling his $500,000.
Whoa.
Yep. It's the product website said neuticles allow a pet to, quote, retain his natural look and self-esteem. Anyway, this year's other Ig Nobel winners include physics. Since 1927, researchers at the University of Queensland in Australia have been tracking a glob of congealed black tar as it drips through a funnel at a rate of one drop every 9 years. Peace. Two researchers at the Newcastle University in England monitored the brain activity of locusts as they watched clips from the movie Star Wars.
Can I defend some of these things?
Okay.
A lot of these headlines are completely misrepresented and completely blows these scientific experiments out of the... Like, they're not... Like, for example...
Did you hear about the one last year? Or what it was the rates, the one which won was the rates at which sheep could be pulled over uneven surfaces. And that's what the guy was doing, friction of sheep over uneven surfaces.
Okay, I'm not sure exactly. There are some totally bogus scientific things.
No, it wasn't bogus. It was that he was figuring out for a sheep shearing factory What the rates, because they needed to change the material so that the sheep would stop resisting so much when they were bringing them into the sheared. So it made sense.
Yeah, I mean, but some of these are like I remember there was a great, I think, 60 Minutes did this like 8 years ago. They showed, they had an article about this, and they started the episode with all these crazy headlines like, man watches flies have sex for 5 years and spends like, you know, $5 million tax money.
Right.
And all these crazy things. And then in the middle of the article, after just completely making you feel like you've been ripped off, they said, do you know the guy who studied the sex of flies discovered genetics?
Yeah.
Did you know that? And they went through and showed that these headlines that people love to drag out are actually really important studies that sound. Actually, my wife's mom used to got slammed in a newspaper because she was studying the results of stress on cotton. And people were like, oh, stressed out cotton? Like, what are they, like, smoking? Well, she was studying how environmental
stress
on cotton, so she could make cotton that could grow in nations that, you know, were starving because they couldn't grow plants.
Right.
Well, the newspapers were slamming her because they thought they're all these little stressed out plants.
Well, this is good because if they're starving, they can eat the cotton.
Well, yeah, exactly.
That's hard.
But okay.
But the final one, just to top it off, chemistry. An experiment at the University of Minnesota was designed to prove whether people can swim faster or slower in syrup than in water. Yeah, explain that one, Aunt Jemima.
That's easy.
Okay. So two other things to add to this. One of the studies they had was there were researchers who smelled frogs. They wanted to see what different smells frogs had when they're stressed. Because apparently a lot of frogs have very interesting smells. Some will smell like peanuts or even curry.
Yeah, licorice.
And their whole theory was that if an animal eats a frog, and the frog also has a toxic substance, and the frog puts off a certain smell, and the animal gets sick from it, that next time it smells that smell, it will think, I shouldn't be eating this.
Yeah.
Because last time I got sick.
That's how you keep your dogs from eating peanut butter. You feed them frogs.
Yes.
There was a study that they found that people were super upset about, where they were studying how fast a canary will forget a song, and they were studying for years, and people were pissed off. Well, what they didn't know is that canaries are one of the only animals on the planet that their brain cells or nerve cells actually self-repair. So if they like get a broken back, they can actually self-heal their back. It's one of the only animals on the planet.
Hmm.
So what they were doing is trying to figure out the repair system of... I mean, it was like they were thinking about that this could lead to us being able to fix back, you know, injuries and all that. But they almost got shut down because of one of these headlines hit the newspaper. It's crazy. So you got to watch it.
Now, the guy who sweeps up the paper airplanes at the Ig Nobel Prize, which apparently is quite a job.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's constant paper airplane throwing, the whole thing.
Wait, what is this?
This is a rowdy
But wait,
event.
Wait. What is
the
this
The Ig Nobel Prize, I guess, operates the, right after the Nobel Prize?
Right after the Nobel Prize comes out. The Ig Nobel Prize is for the scientific theory, or the scientific study, that when you hear about it, you at first go, what? But then when you think about it a little more, you go, oh, wow.
That might be useful.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that's what it's all about.
And they do get a huge grant, too.
Yeah. And it's a rowdy event.
Yeah, okay. Come on. They're scientists. They need to blow some steam off.
So what I heard
that
on...
That sounds fun.
NPR. It, sounds
it really
like
does.
A lot of fun. We should go. what I heard on NPR was the guy who sweeps up paper airplanes and has done it for the last 10 years, who's a fairly renowned scientist, won the Nobel Prize this year.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's cool.
It's like the custodian. It's like Good Will Hunting, the custodian who... Never mind. Okay.
Except for better.
Right. Moving on. Sorry, Todd.
Well, okay, we're about to piss off South Korea again.
Kick ass.
Video game addicts concern the South Korean government.
We should have a thing whenever we hear, like, new people, it's always those crazy South Koreans.
Well, let's see. The article begins with Jun Mong-yu remembers the throbbing pain in his head and shoulder aches from spending as many as 15 hours a day hunched over a computer keyboard battling his online foes. Ha, amateur.
Yeah, seriously.
You have no life. You only focus on gaming, putting off everything like getting a haircut, recalled the 27-year-old Jun, who was able to kick the habit earlier this year though he remains in the milieu running an internet cafe in southeastern Seoul. So basically the article goes into the lifestyle most of these South Korean gamers have living at internet cafes, surviving on a cup of noodles is apparently their favorite cuisine.
Okay.
And basically they're talking about counseling sessions for gaming addicts are on the rise out there, and so they're very concerned about that.
This guy went to the, you know, whatever 12-level program for, you know, breaking the habit.
I'm at level 11.
I'm at 11, exactly. And then went and started feeding other people's habits.
Yep. He's now an enabler.
Nice. Yeah. He went from being a user to a dealer.
So they talk about a couple of the deaths in South Korea from gaming that we've already discussed here on Geeks On in past episodes.
For God's sakes, they're right next door to a nuclear active communist country. You know, you need to blow off some steam. Yeah. Play a little Quake.
Now, was it here that we discussed a news article about alterations in things like World of Warcraft and Evercrack?
Yeah.
China.
Yeah.
I don't know if we discussed it here. If we did.
Yeah, no, we did. We talked about how they want to make a 4-hour time limit. Yeah, like you slowly decrease
your character
in ability.
Gets less powerful.
Your character gets tired.
Which is actually the original alpha version of World of Warcraft.
Yeah, yes. That's how it was.
In the American version.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so anyway, it's just a really interesting article to read, so we'll throw that up on the site.
This is not really news, but I want us to talk about it. But, of course, Bungie announced at the conference in Germany, I think it was, that Peter Jackson is going to be the executive producer of the Halo film.
Right. I heard about this. I didn't know whether or not it was a rumor or true.
It is true.
Ooh. Okay.
So he and his wife...
Peter Jackson, such a nerd. I love him.
He and his wife are going to be the executive producers of this, and Weta is going to be doing the modeling and, I guess, digital effects of the movie.
Is Bungie going to be doing any of their own digital effects for it? Because it makes sense that if they use the models from the video game,
They will never use the model. They have to those models are way.
Well, I know they're outdated.
They're too small. Models for video games are used to have the least amount of polygons, the least amount, because they have to work in real time. So they're super simplified. That never translates to film at all.
Oh.
You can't even use television models for film.
I didn't know that.
No, it's not even close to being.
Well, we'll see how that comes out.
But he's never executive. I mean, he's going to be an executive producer. This is something
new
for directing.
Him? He's going into the George Lucas.
What does
role?
This mean?
I don't know. What I've got to say is that most of Peter Jackson's stuff that I've seen outside of The Lord of the Rings is not my favorite stuff.
I know. I mean,
at all.
If he doesn't have Tolkien backing him up, what are we going to get?
I mean, Meet the Feebles was interesting, but sort of painful and horrible at the same time.
Well, we'll see with King Kong, although
that zombie movie, what was the zombie movie he did in Australia?
Not The Frighteners.
But The Frighteners.
Bad Taste.
I loved The Frighteners.
Is it The Frighteners?
No.
No, he did The Frighteners too.
I loved The Frighteners.
He did The Frighteners.
That's absolutely true. Yeah. I forgot about that one.
Well, he also did Beautiful Things.
Right.
I haven't seen that.
I liked it.
He
did.
Okay, I might have to eat my words here.
Is that the one about
The Frighteners?
The
16-year-old
girls?
Really excellent.
Eat those words.
Disturbing, good. Disturbing.
I've heard Beautiful Things was good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this means, though. I mean, what does that mean? That he's going to... How is this going to influence the movie?
I'm not going to actually make any judgment until I see King Kong. That'll be the shifting point for me.
Well, he'll be directing that one.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, you as a producer, you can have a lot of creative influence over something.
You can have total creative if you want to. I'm just wondering if that's what this means. I mean, what is this? Executive producer is such a weird title because it can mean a couple things. It could mean that all... sometimes it just means that somebody gave money to the film.
Right.
And you never show up on the set and you never do a single thing. You get executive producer. Sometimes you're just the head of the company.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And damn it, your name's going to be on that. You don't have to show up to the, you know. Sometimes it means that you oversee absolutely every single bit of that movie, and the director can't make a decision without checking with it. So it's kind of bizarre.
What's the line from State and Main? What's an executive producer? It's what you give your secretary instead of a raise.
I thought that's associate producer.
Was it associate producer? blew the joke.
No, no. Right. Executive producer is much bigger than that.
Oh, and just another real quickly. Apparently, you can see the first 9 minutes of the new Serenity movie online. They've decided as a push for another promotion that they actually just took the movie, put it online. You can see the straight up. The whole first 9 minutes.
Great.
Well, it's not like they're lacking in sales. They're top of the list this week, right?
No.
No?
Actually, I don't know. I looked at it.
I thought they were top of the sales.
I thought they were,
sales.
Too, because I saw something that said that they were number one, and it said that they were poised to be one of the top 10 grossing movies of all time.
Well, I don't think
I'd have to
yet,
look that up. I didn't even think it was coming close to that.
Yeah, last week's sales were not, I mean, $10 million is respectable, but it was not.
Yeah, I was kind
huge.
Of curious about
it. I don't
know it didn't
where
seem to make
that
sense.
Came from. That was a fanboy saying that.
Yeah.
It was on Slashdot.
Because, I mean, it's got to get up to, what, $350 million or
and,
something
I mean,
like that?
With Serenity. I love Serenity. I loved the movie. I thought it was a great job. Lisa, you rock. But honestly, it's early. I'm incoherent. I don't think it's going to be a huge out-of-the-box movie. I think it's going to be a long, sustained word-of-mouth, just keep going and going and going.
I actually got this
money, making money.
I got this yen
money.
To go see it again, actually.
Me too.
Yeah, actually, I do too.
Yeah, I'll go.
Maybe we should go.
Oops, sorry. I'll go.
Okay. Anybody got anything else?
No.
Okay. I got one last one, just it's quick. Archimedes' death ray was realized. In these old pictures of...
Did he ever have one?
Yeah, no. Well, they have these wonderful pictures of him destroying the Roman fleet with a death ray, and it looks like a reflective mirror that basically there's a sunbeam coming down, hitting the mirror, and it's destroying these ships out in the harbor.
Oh, no.
And on MythBusters, episode 16, a few weeks ago, they completely debunked it. They said, this is not possible. It's bull. It's, you know. And so all these scientists at MIT went, they were watching MythBusters, and they went, I think I could make a death ray out of a mirror. And so they spent the time, and they actually have a whole website devoted to.
So this is
all
using sunlight, mirror, and like lenses and stuff to create
isn't
like a focus beam.
Yep.
Isn't this the plot of Lemony Snicket?
I didn't
never
see
saw
it.
Lemony Snicket.
Oh my god! It's the plot of Lemony Snicket. A guy has a tower. He has a mirror. He incinerates people he doesn't like.
Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
That's the movie.
The movie.
Huh.
Sorry, I got to go back for a second to Serenity. It's not top 10 grossing movies, top 10 rated movies of all time. That's
different. Okay.
Because it dropped into number 4, I think, this weekend on sales.
Yeah.
Well, we better go.
It did?
Yeah.
It needs our money.
Yes.
Quick, to the Geekmobile.
Yes. but David Wallace, MIT professor, and grad student Barry Kurdrowitz, who are both involved in MIT's project engineering processes course, which is a creative design and engineering class. Last week, the class demonstrated that Archimedes' death ray, which was busted, that he used during the siege of Syracuse in 212 BC, he made a burning glass to burn up the enemy Roman ships. So they built a 10-foot-long model ship out of wood and then positioned 129 1-foot square mirrors nearby. 129
that's it? Just
1
mirrors?
Foot square meter. Yeah, they positioned them and they basically figured out in relation to the sun what it was, and they got flash ignition on the thing. There's an instant large open flame. The volatiles liberated from the wood ignite at roughly 1100 degrees Fahrenheit. So they made that.
I would love to see the MythBusters guys.
Yep.
Like, you know, have to deal
wait,
with
it's
that.
Wait, like, what? Open sustaining flame occurred in less than 10 minutes after the sun was in a clear patch of sky. I thought it was the coolest thing ever.
That's cool.
You can look at the website and you can see how they failed the first time when they were trying it. And
are we putting the link?
Try
up?
Different. Yeah, we got the link.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Yes.
All right, I found out something interesting this week. Not a news story, but I just found this really interesting. You know, currently on our forum, for a very long time now, there has been a creationism versus evolution.
Still going.
String. It is. It's just raging out of control.
Yeah, I was looking at it. It's like 265 viewers, 85 responses. I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah. And that's the second thread.
Yeah.
You know, it
yeah.
started on another thread.
You know, and God bless all of our listeners. I mean, I think some of them are insane, you know. Yeah, I think some of you are insane, though, so that's
Flying
okay.
Spaghetti Monster, bless all of our listeners.
Ah! I'm sorry, I just failed my sound check again. It comes with a visual every time you say it. It drives me crazy. But I was reading something this week, and I haven't gone out to do the individual research yet. So I'm kind of speaking rumor, but it's a reliable source. Basically, stick insects, right? You know those stick insects, mm-hmm. insects that look like sticks and twigs mm-hmm. and walk around? Apparently, they lay eggs that look like seeds and baby snails. Oh. That's the way they reproduce themselves. Okay?
That's cool.
And so proponents of evolution kept looking at this going, this on an evolutionary basis makes no sense. We can't explain why this would happen.
Mm-hmm.
To reproduce in a way where your young would be most likely eaten by almost everything in the natural kingdom seems right. like a horrific way to propagate your species. Okay? And so apparently up until 1994, it was just the big glaring hole in right. evolution. It,
one of the,
nobody
yeah.
could. Well, yeah, there you go. Until a forest fire occurred. And several weeks after the forest fire, shoots started coming up from underneath the ground. And those shoots were covered with stick insects. And they couldn't figure out where they were coming from. Until they figured out what had happened. Ants eat seeds and baby snails. Ants went out, picked up the eggs from the stick insects, and carried them underground, where they would be safely stored and survive the forest fire.
Hmm.
At which point the eggs hatch, and apparently baby stick insects
yeah.
look like ants.
Oh. Hmm.
So they're just able
this
to casually walk around.
Little buggers.
Yeah, I just found that so incredibly impressive.
That is long-term evolution right there.
Yeah. Well, you
to
know.
To me.
Or.
To me.
Or the miracle of God.
Yeah.
I mean, who would? I mean, that's so clever. Only a clever individual could figure that out.
yeah. Okay. Thanks, Aaron.
All right. Next, we beat this one to a dead.
I just found that interesting. I don't think it supports either.
We just created another
cool.
430 posts on our forum.
I don't know why we did that. I don't know why we're bringing it up on the Geek Show. We should put a kibosh on talking about it here. Let them go. All I think it's the forums.
Stir
great,
the pot, Aaron. Stir the pot.
Jeez.
Why do you want to kibosh something? Huh?
Don't
kibosh. What's up with the kiboshing?
I'm restricting the...
Are you censoring?
Speaking of kiboshing... You can't censor me.
Speaking of kiboshing, you, Mr. Censor, you need to be going on the forums a little bit more. The amount of discussion of Mr. Peter on the forums is stunning.
Have you been getting any personal emails?
No.
Oh. we need to discuss about getting a new forum going because they're about ready to like.
No, I got a couple about those.
Yeah. yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm looking into it.
Okay. Good. So before anyone goes and tries to start another forum somewhere, because they're like, they're starting to like talk about setting up their own forum somewhere else and taking everybody to their own forums. And before you do that, just give us just a hair more time. We're going to figure this out.
None of us are internet geeks, so it takes us a little while.
Right. We're still all playing nice on the forums now. I know you guys all want to have avatars and stuff. Just chill out. Just give us a hair more time.
What's my avatar going to be?
I know.
Could be Illidan, but...
I know what it's going to be.
What do you think it's going to be?
Your avatar?
Yeah.
I'm not telling you until you put it up. And I'm going to say I told you so.
Well, that doesn't work, does it?
Well, if I write it down and email it to you, it will.
All right. Let's get to our topic this week.
Yay, topics.
Don, what is our topic this
Don
week?
Don is our topic this week.
Today's topic is geek comedy.
And wouldn't you mean geek comedy?
When I say geek comedy, I mean what makes geeks laugh? What are we attracted to as a community? Now, I would throw out
as opposed to standard comedy.
Yeah, like Three's Company. Not really a geek thing, you know?
Right.
Fart jokes.
Hey!
Fart jokes, not so much.
I love Three's Company. That's how it begins.
What, are you watching it in French?
No, that's how it begins.
Ha-da-da-da-taboo.
It goes, da-da-da-da-da-boo. And then it goes,
no.
Come and knock on my door.
No.
No.
It starts out,
come and knock on my door. We've been waiting for you.
It starts out.
You sit with her and her and him, Three's Company too.
Maybe I was just listening to it in French. I don't know.
Okay. So okay. Some of the things that I would throw out there as geek comedy. Oh my god, we can edit all this out in post production, right?
This guy.
Aaron's just sitting there like, oh shit, I got a lot on my plate this week.
Cutting it all out.
Okay, so our discussion this week is going to be on geek comedy. What makes geeks laugh? What do we go to for our humor?
Okay.
Right?
Where do we start?
Some things I'd throw out there, like mm-hmm. that I think are epitomes of geek comedy, right? Red Dwarf.
Okay.
Okay. You know, the sci-fi sitcom from Britain.
Right.
Strangely, okay. though, I don't think a lot of people have seen the show.
I think those who have tend to be geeks.
I think British comedy in general sort of tends to be a geek-ish thing.
I don't think so.
I would agree with that. I would say that British comedy a lot of times tends to be a different type of joke.
It's also more to the intellectual.
Well, yeah. I'd say like Monty Python is a geek comedy.
Monty Python. You know?
Yeah, because
Towers.
Monty Python's really intellectual.
Python's intellectual. It can be.
It can be, but
Spanish Inquisition, even though it's silly, you have to know what the Spanish Inquisition is just to get the joke.
But I mean, there's certain. It's also not necessarily the content, in my opinion, that attracts geeks so much as the way it's approached. History of the World, Part 1. Okay?
Right.
This is a mainstream comedy. I'm not going to argue that it's exclusively a geek comedy. But geeks approach it in a very different way.
Mm-hmm.
Walk into a crowded sci-fi convention and go, "The Inquisition!"
Yeah.
And wait. And see how many people start twitching, trying to resist saying that next line. You
right.
know?
Or repeating another line from a different one. It always becomes the one-upsmanship whenever it's Monty Python or anything like that.
I bring you these 15? 10. Yeah. 10 commandments, you know?
Yes, exactly.
It's, okay, Buffy, another example of geek comedy, you know? Angel.
Not funny. Just not
but
funny.
But a good try. God bless you.
Angel. Not funny.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
One of my all-time geeky, mm-hmm. funniest things was Mystery Science Theater 3000.
The epitome.
I think that, to me, was one of the smartest, funniest, and geek-specific shows ever. I mean, mm-hmm. I remember watching. I mean, they would knock
the
off
the references they make.
Yeah, they would knock off 400 or 500 jokes an episode. And I remember thinking, me being the only one in the room that would laugh at one particular joke, it being so obscure and so targeted that I almost thought that they were writing the joke for me only. And then the next joke I wouldn't get, but the guy next to me would be just crying. And I was like, this is so bizarre that this works. Like, I didn't get that joke.
Maybe that's why I didn't like it. I didn't like it for a long time. I've only seen about 10 of them.
Oh,
but I really did not like it until...
You've only
seen 10? Yeah, I've only seen about 10 of them.
Give me your geek card.
Okay, I'm sorry. Here.
I haven't even seen that.
But Aaron, the one that you and I watched, it was a sci-fi one where a woman who was just killed in the scene before then appears. Do you remember that? We watched it together. It was very, very bad. It was
Cave Dwellers?
No.
I love Cave Dwellers.
It was horrific, whatever it was. And that one was the first one where I got it, where I suddenly went, ah, right, okay, I get MST3K now.
For me, it was always the older ones.
Oh, the
older
ones.
I loved the Joel ones.
The Joel ones are unbelievable.
Nope.
They are so freaking
you're gonna have to
fun.
Show me these.
Look, I've got a couple of videotapes that are like about 12 years old, and I just saved them. We should bust them out because I recorded them.
I'm really surprised they haven't put out comprehensively all of the episodes on DVD.
I'm sure it's just because of they have to buy the rights for the movie.
That's probably true.
And they just don't have the money to do that.
Oh, that sucks.
As someone who's not hasn't seen as many of these as you guys. Is part of the humor of this that it allows us to laugh at ourselves as geeks because we get to see the very worst in terms of geekdom?
Partial. It celebrates geekdom because of the specific jokes. Like they'll talk about other movies and, other science fiction shows in the joke.
Yeah.
But really, you are laughing at the filmmakers.
Because the filmmakers are bad.
Because, I mean, the filmmakers were probably geeks, too.
I tend to doubt. Yeah,
these
are people who are clueless in the genre a lot of times.
Yeah, okay.
They'll make a science fiction. You see this all the time.
Yeah.
A guy will get the directing job for a science fiction, like Johnny Mnemonic. You cannot tell me that the director or anybody involved in the movie Johnny Mnemonic was at all a sci-fi geek at all. I don't know who directed that. I'd have to look it up. But it was obviously, you know, the choices made were made by, like, some guy who goes, oh, wouldn't it be cool if, you know, blah, yeah. blah happened? Yeah, you're like,
it began, every sentence began with, wouldn't it be cool if?
Yeah. Yeah. And his ideas is something that we've all seen a million times. It's like, yeah.
I like the monofilament fingernail. What are you talking about?
That was the only thing I remember from that movie.
Yeah.
And the only I think the reason why they did that is because they didn't have the rights to, what's-her-face, the character with the whip.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She, her name was different in that movie. What's her name in Neuromancer? The cool kick-ass chicken Neuromancer?
Don't remember.
Don't know.
They're screaming it out in Geekland.
Molly.
Was it Molly?
Molly. Her name is not Molly in Johnny Mnemonic. She's like some other... Instead of having the whip that she slices the guy in half, she has the fingernails. Anyway, but that Mystery Science Theater banked on you having to be a geek to watch it, really. I mean... There were jokes there, even like, there were a lot of sports jokes and stuff that I didn't get.
Strangely.
And so they did target like sports fans, theater, a lot of theater jokes,
a lot of them
I didn't even get, but a lot of sci-fi jokes, kung fu jokes.
All the time,
like,
kung fu
jokes. So do you think maybe geek humor is specific? Like, we like very specific things? Or?
Yeah, I think that's part of being a geek is being obsessed with a particular genre. Yeah.
It's that collection thing again. Sort of geeks collecting, you know, I know everything about kung fu. I know everything about
valid.
The thing.
Yeah, yeah, you know, exactly.
It's all of that. It's like we don't use the knowledge to go, oh, yeah, Ripken hit a 336 in the fourth, you know.
But that would be a geeky trait.
Right.
If sports weren't so popular... It would be a geeky trait,
yeah.
The guy who collects the baseball cards, the guy who collects the stats,
mm-hmm.
because essentially he's a Magic the Gathering player.
Right.
I mean, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think that geek humor just inhabits, you know, the worlds that geeks are interested in. You know, they're basically in jokes for people who understand certain worlds, you know.
And it's in jokes for out communities. I'm done, thanks.
And, you know, there'll be certain jokes that certain geeks won't get because they're not, you know, they're different types of geeks. But,
right.
like, for example, you know, something that a lot of, you know, that everyone here certainly knows is that a lot of people joke that my wife doesn't really exist.
She doesn't.
Because she oftentimes just doesn't, you know, doesn't make it to a lot of events.
She doesn't,
you know,
exist.
Because she's got a class that she goes to that keeps
she doesn't exist.
So we were talking about her one night, and I said, well, she's really the Schrodinger's wife. You know, she exists when she's there, and when she's not, she doesn't. So, you know, but, like, that's a geek joke because it's like, who else is going to get that?
Right.
You cracked that in the middle of a geek crowd.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no, I did. Yeah. You know.
Because it wasn't like cricket, cricket, cricket.
No. Everybody laughed, okay. You know. But
I'd love to crack that joke in a room full of physicists and see, you know,
yeah.
how many went out and repeated it. And so he says, Schrodinger's wife. Sorry.
We have a lot of online geek material now.
Absolutely.
We have
movie.
Red versus Blue, Dork Tower.
Yeah, Red versus Blue, by the way, is great. If anybody does not know what Red versus Blue is, it's these guys who took the Halo engine. Essentially, they just booted up Halo, mm-hmm. hooked it up to a VCR or a DVD player and started recording, and then dubbed in voiceovers and created their own story.
Didn't they just move the characters around using Halo?
They do that with all sorts of video games. If you do a search, there's all sorts of movies that people have made with The Sims, with the Unreal Engines, with everybody, and they have the camera. You know, a lot of those PC games allows you to move the camera wherever you want to. So they have camera shots that look like they're crane shots, some very fancy ones.
There's also a very interesting thing here with geeks sort of making fun of themselves and of the genres which they play.
It is sort of a very self-referential humor,
I
think. You know,
for instance, I'm just thinking of the
it tends not
Triumph.
To be biting of other cultures so much as making fun of your own.
Well, Triumph, you know? Yeah, but I'm thinking of the we were watching an X-Play, and there's a vampire video game where a guy's arms flail around.
Oh, everywhere. 99 vampires.
Yeah, 99 vampires. And I have not laughed that hard at a video game in forever. It's just the stupidest video game in the entire world. And the fact that they were making fun of it, just, I mean, it's not pouring out of my nose because it was so funny. But, you know, it becomes that sort of self-referential picking on whatever.
Even Triumph, the
Insult Dog
went after the Star Wars fans. And I would say that appeals to geeks more than anybody, that clip. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I've watched it 100 million times. I've got it downloaded to my computer. And every time another geek walks in, I show it to my geek friends. If a cool friend walks in, I don't show it. I mean, I've shown it to all you guys. You guys aren't cool.
Right.
So, you know.
That hurts.
Well, Don's cool.
To me, they were pounding on geeks in that.
Oh.
And it's funny as hell.
Yeah. And it's funny that the geeks can take it. Because, you know, you wouldn't go to, like, a sports fan thing and, like, pick on them that way.
Yeah, there'd be fights. Well, you know, come on. They've been picked on their entire lives. So.
Yeah, true.
Did you see the Triumph Michael Jackson trial?
I did not.
That was unbelievable.
I heard it was good.
My God.
What was the one where it was, so you'd let Michael Jackson take care of your kids? And she's like, yeah, I'd let Michael Jackson take care of my kids. Do you have a poodle?
Can I walk your poodle?
Can I walk your poodle? I'm a genius.
Well, I was going to bring up some of the comics that are online now.
Go for it.
Dork Tower is one of my favorite. And you can get, I think, an episode every week now.
Yeah, Dork Tower.
They bundle those up for the books later, but you can get, you know, one every each week.
Right.
Penny Arcade's always got really funny stuff.
The Not So Super Friends.
The Not So Super
Friend of mine makes that.
Yeah.
Hey, what was the someone posted online the Hero, or it was called Heroes. It was like the Super Friends meets Clerks. It's really funny.
I don't think I've seen that.
It's got Captain America and Daredevil sitting. Captain America has to, like, work at a convenience store to make money, and Daredevil's in there just, like, shooting the shit with them. It's really funny. They posted it on our forums. Everyone should check it out.
I'll check that out.
It's funny. But, you know, that's geeky.
Another geek strip online, Sluggy.com. I've plugged that a couple times on the show.
E-Bomb's World, of course.
Yep, E-Bomb's World.
And then, of course,
trust me, Sluggy.com, go.
Phil Folio.
Oh, yes.
We're big fans of his. We're going to hopefully interview him once I can get Skype. I'm having
problems. Didn't we promise an interview like ages ago?
I have this new computer and I can't get my setup to work.
Have we gotten back in touch with them? Do they know that, like, we're not blowing them off?
Mm. Well, we'll get back in touch with them again. But very cool stuff.
We love you.
I've got a signed copy of one of his comics. Anyway, you know,
XXX.
Yeah, it's great stuff. And of course his old stuff and all, like, the old Dungeons and Dragons stuff was all great.
What about geek stand-up comedians? Like, I remember that I found out that they got specific stand-up comedians for, like, Star Trek conventions.
Yeah.
Guys who did Star Trek jokes.
At the end of Trekkies, the documentary, they have, during the credits, they show guys at a convention, stand-up comedians, and they have some really funny stuff in
there. What was the thing about, I think I remember that. It was like a it was a teacher joke. I can't remember that. Oh, man, now I'm just going to kill me.
I would check it out. At the end of Trekkies, they have a lot of really good ones. Trekkies is a great documentary, but it's also funny as hell.
Yeah.
Again, really picking on the media.
Well, the great thing about Trekkies is they pick on them, but there's also a sense of respect as well. It's like, you know, these are people who love something, and they're passionate about something, and it just happens to be Star Trek. And sure, they're awkward, and sure, they've got social problems, some of them, and sure, they're, you know, they're wasting a lot of time, some of them. But you know what? We all waste our time on something. Some people just sit on the couch and just mindlessly watch TV.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. You're better than us because you're not a geek. But your life's wasting away. At least this guy's made, you know, a real-life cloaking device.
or the wheelchair.
Yeah, the Captain Pike's wheelchair.
I love that. I love that.
Oh, my God.
What have you done lately?
My friend Tom, who we just crack up at the things he's done because he's... He's an Emmy award-winning makeup artist, right? He's done it for Star Trek and stuff like that. But he is a Star Wars geek supreme. He's created his own action figures. He's gone out, he's cut off heads of other action figures and then molded new heads out of other things, built, you know, noses onto them, because he's like, they didn't do these two characters. They needed to do those two characters. And he wants a complete set. And every cast member ever. He's built these huge shelves in his Star Wars room in his house, and each shelf is...
Is he married?
No. No. Each shelf is painted...
But he has a life-sized doll of number 9.
Yes. But each shelf is painted individually like the planet from which they come. So one is the Tatooine shelf.
Nice.
And the Dagobah shelf. And, you know, the Kashyyyk shelf. It's scary when you walk in. You know?
By the way, Peter, I think it's number 6. And it's 7 of 9.
7 of 9. Whoops.
So you're getting your hot chicks.
Six of 9. Yeah.
60 of 9.
Yeah.
Them. Or T of A. My family calls it.
Nice.
Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh, can't ignore Weird Al Yankovic.
Yeah.
I always get a little chuckle, but I've never.
Wars stuff is genius.
Come on.
If you haven't heard his Star Wars stuff.
I guess I haven't heard.
My
Star
name
Wars
is stuff. Darth Vader. He did it to the Eminem song. Darth Vader. Oh. No, Peter, no.
I guess it's just, you know. Maybe it's just me, you know. It's not my shtick.
I think Vinette has probably been the single biggest catalyst for geek humor.
Geek everything,
but geek humor. I mean, let's face it, before the internet, you pretty much had to depend on PBS for geek humor stuff, mm-hmm. you know, as far as TV goes, right?
Right.
And then, again, it was all Britcom stuff.
But also, the internet stuff always seems to be based in the geek humor of embarrassment. Like, when I think of all the sites that I go to, it's always, like, the Star Wars kid humiliating himself, or the guy who goes to the audition and does the backflip and lands right on his face. Or,
well, that's why,
the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins, where you're like, oh, Leonard, what were you thinking? Oh, man.
Well, yeah, I mean, it allows us to laugh at ourselves, but that's what's good about, like, you know, Red versus Blue or Dork Tower, is they're cracking jokes for geeks, not about geeks.
Right.
Sure, Dork Tower sometimes treads on that a little bit when, like, the girlfriend comes in.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the girlfriends are always shocked about how, geeky their boyfriends really are. Yeah, and that's a little bit that's funny. But what the great thing about those is that we get to have a moment of just laughing directly at a joke that probably we only understand.
Yeah.
Like, I'll sit there and laugh, and someone goes, "What's funny?" I go, "Check this comic book, you know, check this strip out," and they're just like,
"They don't get it.
I don't even know what that means." Sorry,
I just wanted to throw out something slightly different, but kind of on track. You know, my wife is constantly talking to other wives. And they're all kind of in this weird sort of shocked state because there's this new thing happening with our generation, which is we're adults that still play video games.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And all of the good women that she talks to, they talk about it like it's this dirty secret. You know, my husband kind of still plays video games.
No, mine does too.
And then it's like, no, Peter does it all the time. Oh, he loves to play video games. And they're like, really? He plays video games? It's like, you know.
Yeah, well, that's weird because it's so, I guess as guys know that everybody's doing it.
Yeah, but
so
they're like
the fact
shocked.
That they are not even like
it's only
paying
logical.
Attention.
We grew up with them and they grew up with us.
Yeah.
You know? These are not the same video games we played when we were kids, mm-hmm. you know?
No.
Yeah. And you know what? We need to change the name of video games because it's getting us in trouble. I know we're completely getting off topic here, so I'm actually going to drop that.
No.
So I'm just saying that, you know,
embrace your tangent.
This is the reason why we're getting all these senators and everyone upset in the rating boards, because it's got the word video game in it,
mm-hmm.
in my opinion.
What should we call it?
I don't know.
Interactive entertainment. It's too long.
That's what they're charging me on my damn SAG fees under. Interactive entertainment, my ass.
It's too long. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
Sorry.
I don't know, but
that's a sore subject. They just busted me with SAG.
Did they?
They just charged me a bunch of money for doing World of Warcraft. Or for doing Warcraft. when it was previous. Sorry, I'm pissed. Anyway,
it was before the contract, and they're saying that the contract is retroactive.
Yeah.
Ooh.
And so they're charging me a crap load of money, and it's like,
well, there's SAG nice for guys. You helping out people,
helping out day by day.
I swear. Okay. Anyway, no, do we have any other? I know we're missing. You know, this is what happens every time we talk about
the question. I want to ask though is like, okay, now we have geek humor, and geeks tend to focus on their geek humor above and beyond other types of humor.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do geeks appreciate mainstream humor as much as everyone else?
Oh, I'm a massive Chris Rock, you know, fan. I'm a massive like Robin Williams fan.
Dave Chappelle. I love all that crap.
Okay.
Rick James, bitch. Did Dave Chappelle go off the air because he was a drug addict or because he just couldn't take it?
It was stress and exhaustion.
Yeah, I think he...
Quote, unquote.
Yeah.
Ah.
I don't know. I kind of believe that he just said... He just freaked out. They offered him too much money and just said... He just flipped out. But, I think that, do you embrace, Don, do you embrace mainstream humor? You seem to be more focused on geek humor.
I am. I'm more focused on geek humor. I tend to think more mainstream comedies suck. Like, when I watch them, I'm just not amused.
Rob Schneider
is not funny, and nothing that anybody says can
nobody thinks
funny.
Nobody thinks Rob Schneider's funny.
Okay, well, he keeps making movies, so someone's watching him.
Because he's got one good catchphrase, and everybody repeats it, and that's what's funny.
The Animal was actually a successful movie.
And everyone's hoping for that.
So is the hot girl, the hot chick.
Hot chick? Really?
Yeah.
And they're making Deuce Bigelow 2 right now.
Right. You know? The thing is, his movies are making money. Mm-hmm. You know, people go see it even though they know it's awful.
You see, but a lot of the things that are mainstream now, like the 40-Year-Old Virgin, right?
That was great.
I think that's a geek comedy.
Oh, it is. It's completely, come on.
I think almost all of the comedies that have grown out of The Daily Show are geek comedies, you know?
What about what about Adam Sandler?
I don't find him funny.
Really?
I never have.
I went to the movie with Don, and we couldn't get into the movie we wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, hey, why don't we go see Wedding Crashers? I hear it's great.
Okay.
And Don and another geeky friend of ours who also does not like geek mainstream humor were like, no. And we picked the superhero movie.
Yeah, the superhero movie.
Which I liked, but I was like, come on. You know, it was like the kids' superhero.
Oh, Sky High?
Sky High, right.
Oh, Sky High.
Yeah, it was a good movie, but
Linda Carter, man.
She's busting out all of a sudden. She's in everything.
I know.
She's in like two video games. She was on Law and Order just now. She was on, she's in another movie coming up.
She looks the same.
She must have run out of money.
Right.
I don't know.
I think she's drinking Dick Clark's blood or something. It's just
Do we have anything else to say? The problem we have with these topics is that...
They're
so wide, and then, you know, we forget 100 million things, and then our guys on our forum say, you can't... Like the art one, they went off on the art. And they've meant, you know, the fact that we didn't mention, like, Giger...
Geiger.
I mean, you know, we got slammed on that, you know, rightly so. And we know that we are going to get slammed this time. So go to our forums and put down what we missed, because I went and checked out some of the stuff that...
And in the future, we'll do more specific shows. We'll do comic strips or something.
Yep.
Yeah. Is Opus a geek strip? I don't know, you know?
Was Bloom County? Was Calvin and Hobbes? Who knows?
Well,
I think Bloom County
I cannot wait for Boondocks, though.
Oh, the cartoon?
Oh, my God.
That's interesting.
That Boondocks just has cracked me up.
I'm afraid it's going to be another Dilbert cartoon.
No, he outed Star Wars. Remember? He saw Star Wars before he saw the first episode one. And he was so pissed off at Jar Jar and the rest of the film that he wrote the entire plot in his strip. And his strip got pulled for those weeks. Yeah. And I'm just like, anybody who has the balls to go in and do that. Great, man. You know, I gotta watch it.
By the way, here's a little inside geek humor on My Name is Earl.
Mm-hmm.
They had in one scene, I guess the first episode, the show is being shown in high def and in standard. Well, in the background, the brother holds up a little piece of paper that written in pen... that says high def rules, but it was so small and detailed that only people with high def televisions could read the sign.
That's
Everybody
funny.
Else, it just looked like a blank sheet of paper. So it was it was like an Easter egg.
Have
on
you watched
a television
that show?
I saw one episode.
It's good.
What'd you think?
I thought it was okay.
I thought it was funny.
I thought it was such a steaming pile when I watched
really?
It.
Really?
I was like offended by it. I thought it was so stupid.
No, I liked it.
We saw a little bit of it, but my The Everybody Hates Chris is hysterical.
Everybody Hates
my
Chris.
My TiVo, you know,
really good.
You know who hates Chris? Who? My TiVo refuses to record that.
It's because he's black.
Yeah. I have a racist TiVo.
You do.
So along the lines of our geek humor topic, we now have geek limericks.
Oh, yeah. That is correct.
Oh, wait. I have to do one thing, just going along with the Chris Rock thing.
Yeah.
I heard Chris Rock. I now have XM Satellite Radio, and Chris Rock did this huge thing on the difference between black and white, the difference between blacks making money in America and whites making money in America. And I thought it was hilarious. It's the difference between rich and wealthy.
Yeah.
He goes, Shaq is rich, but we ain't got wealthy in America if you're black. We ain't got wealthy. Shaq is rich. The man who writes Shaq's checks is wealthy.
Yeah.
He goes, the gun manufacturers are wealthy. 50 Cent is rich. And the fact that 50 Cent gets a federal commission over saying gun when they're making guns. I just thought it was genius. Genius, yeah. Chris.
That was his last concert, I believe.
You got to hear that.
So, yeah, we're going to... we're doing our little bit this week is Geek Limericks.
Geek Limericks.
Yes.
And some of us came more prepared than others. Good Lord, look at you.
No, this is actually one that I had three different endings on, and I'm only picking one.
Okay, well, as Peter came in, carrying a small tome filled with his limerick works this week.
These are my 12. 10.
Yeah.
Geek Limericks.
So, well, Peter, then if you have more than one, why don't you start us off with a Geek Limerick? Okay. By the way, did you like the laugh track I put in our
I loved the laugh track you put.
We got to get a laugh track on this episode.
Did people like the punchline bit we did once upon a time?
I don't know. We never got any response.
No one ever commented.
I guess it was funny enough that we, you know.
We'll drop it.
This is for all those 16-year-olds on World of Warcraft. Okay. There once was a boy who spoke Leet. He thought he was fast on his feet. He said, you'll be pwned, but then he was owned, and so his Leet he did eat.
Very nice.
That's good.
Very nice.
Shall I?
Very cool.
All right.
We'll go Peter, Matt, Peter, Aaron, Peter.
Excellent. All right. This is because I always seem to be making the extra racist joke that goes just a little bit too far. All right. There once was a show called Geeks On, where Matt joked about the Quran. They called a jihad. Matt said, oh, my God, now he's hiding his ass in Taiwan.
Okay. All right, Peter, you got another one, Mr. Writer?
There once was a cat by Schrodinger that explained a theory that was a Hodinger. If you open the box, then it unlocks life or death of this feliner.
That's so random. All right, is it my turn?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought it was done.
No. It's done. Aaron's going to try one.
Okay.
There once was a Vulcan named Spock who died and was left on a rock. But with the Genesis Effect and the next movie to direct, we got a new Savick, a whale, and Cybok. I had two other endings. I couldn't hear which one, but that one made more sense.
That's great.
That's fantastic.
All right, Peter?
Yeah, I think I'm done. I think those were the best.
Okay.
You sure?
Yeah, he's got, all right, Don, bring us home.
All right. There is now a game called D20, which has gamers and fanboys aplenty. They bought all other games, or so Steve Jackson claims, which is like mortar calling asphalt cementy.
What?
It's really hard to rhyme 20.
Plenty.
Like, I already did plenty.
Cementy. Okay. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Alrighty. Well, I actually had fun writing that one. I think we should do Geek Limericks more often.
Okay. I like Geek Limericks.
I don't know if anybody else will like this, but our show, damn it.
Some of these we do just for us.
Yeah.
I have some geek mail
to talk about.
Okay, Matt, why don't you start then?
Okay, well, let's start it off. Basically, hang on, that's you. Just wanted the guy who commented on one of your comments, Aaron, on the $326 million budget of the Superman movie. He says he just wanted to let us know that that number includes all of the pre-production from the WB trying to make Superman for the last 10 years or so. It includes all the unused scripts written, all the directors who signed on and did work for it, and so on. And he just wanted to know what was spent on this movie and only this movie. So maybe we could.
I don't know, but you know, that just goes to show that we're not going to see a $326 million movie.
Yeah, but he thinks that with Singer's track record and Superman's worldwide appeal, that there's no way that it won't be a hit.
Yeah, but will it be that big?
But it will
hit?
Be good.
Yep.
And also, you look.
I mean, I'll go see a Superman movie, but I'm not going to run to see it the way I did the Batman movie.
Thanks, Walter, by the way.
Well, but also, look, it's standard procedure that you count the development money in the budget of a film.
Yeah.
I mean, and, you know, so if they spent, you know, $50 million trying to get a script out of this.
Because they still got to pay it off.
They still got to pay it. You count that as part of the film, you know. So when you're comparing it to what they spend on other films, that's the number you use.
Yeah. Jack Boscia wrote, I've been getting more and more nervous about each podcast that something, Star Wars music, video games, special effects, etc., will get a podcast canceled.
Interesting. I didn't read that.
Yeah, he goes on and on. iTunes temporarily canceled both the MuggleCast and the PotterCast a few weeks ago because they saw two Harry Potter casts, both high in the list, and feared lawyers because they were using music and stuff from the movies. So they bumped them off. They canceled them off iTunes. I don't know if it says, as for music in the beginning and the end of the cast, I don't know if you guys made it or if it's something else. I'm just getting a bit paranoid, but I need my geeks on, so be careful. Well, the music in ours is completely usable.
Yep.
You know, here in Hollywood,
Aaron's just as paranoid as you are. Yeah. Never fear.
We have snuck in. I put in a ghosted one episode. I think I ghosted in Halo voices while we were talking about Halo for like about 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair use, though, isn't it?
No, I knew we were pushing it, and I knew that we would maybe get a cease and desist, but it was really on the low end, and I think that. Trust me, here in Hollywood, we know good well that we can get in trouble.
Yeah.
So we're very, and all the other music we used to have were all license-free music. So we are all okay.
And we're actually working on a new possible theme song right now.
Yeah. Hopefully, Bear will do that.
Yeah.
But you know, I actually think if you're commenting on something, if we were talking about Halo. I do think it's fair use to use it for a few seconds.
I think maybe like news articles can do can do that. So
maybe
we're all good.
We should be fine.
This one from Eric Carlson. I said you guys rock. I have to say I love your podcast. I've been listening for greater than a month, and love that you're on iTunes and you provided archives. Here's what I love about the show: it's professionally recorded. He loves our conversation and banter. We have a great sense of humor. Even the tangents are very interesting. Done. Intelligent arguments, lots of console and PC gaming, and he loved Orson Scott Card interview. And he wanted to know whether or not he saw the geeks on Lightning Bolt on the set of 40-Year-Old Virgin. No, you did not. No.
Unless we have a secret fan already.
Yeah, we might have a secret fan on the set of...
I haven't seen 40-Year-Old Virgin yet.
Yeah. But he thought that there are a few topics that we could take on. Foreign sci-fi books, short stories, Japanese, British. Best and worst movie sequels.
Oh,
internet.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I like that.
Internet myths and myth-busting?
Myth-busting.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's
great.
Myth-busting.
Yeah. That's a good one.
And favorite vintage games, XCOM, Civ, SimCity.
That's a good one.
So he's got some.
Those are all good ones.
Yeah, he's got great
stuff.
We're
logging those.
Okay.
Me like... wrote, a good podcast is hard to find. I mean, I'm incredibly picky. There are just a slight bit of something I don't like, then that really turns me off. He goes on and on and on. But he really, what he was getting into
and on
was,
and on.
He was,
hey, we just lost another listener.
we're very funny, very entertaining. I'd be leeching the archives dry, hopefully hang around on the forums too. He wanted to know about old episodes, which we have been getting a lot of email about.
Yep. What is that? Episodes 1 through 10?
1 through 9, I think.
Well, I've dropped off even more.
Okay.
So, but what we're going to do is we're going to probably be airing some as
the holidays.
Reruns. Yeah.
And then probably publishing our stuff on a CD at some point, too.
So...
maybe we'll do a Best of Geeks on CD at some point.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, or you can go to our website, you know, directly you know, and get them. If you're doing it through iTunes, just go to the archives and
but
get
they
it.
Still don't have all of them. So some yeah. of the old ones
right.
will be repeating here just every once in a while when yeah. we just can't get to a cast.
With the holiday season coming up, you can expect a few classic episodes. Yes. Right. We don't refer to them as reruns.
And we'll classic. Make sure that we get the Geek Store up so people can buy Geeks On stuff for Christmas.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. People will be rushing there. people will be rushing to buy.
Hey, damn it. We're good for stocking stuffers.
I have a surprise to our listeners and you guys, actually. Because people have been wanting to interact more with the show, I thought we would maybe give this a try.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
But we have a voicemail number that people can Skype to and leave voicemail messages that we can...
Really?
So we're going to try Ooh. This. I'm giving this out. I'm not going to post this on the internet at all. So this can you'll only be able to get this number
if you listen
by
to
listening
the
to the show. but you can post your comments or try to keep them under 15 seconds, and we might even air a couple of them if they're under 10 or 15 seconds. If they get too long, we just can't air them. So the number is... And this is a U.S. number, so you'd have to dial 1
you
if you
pen?
Want to do international.
You got your paper?
So
good.
The number is 323-319-5182.
5182.
What does that spell?
Say that number one more time.
It's 323-319-5182. It doesn't spell anything. I tried my darndest.
Ready? It's Makota.
Yeah,
it's Klingon.
1-800-MAKOTA.
Did you go to PhoneSpell, www.phonespell.com?
I haven't gone the other way. I tried to spell Geeks On, like all these different ways of putting in Geeks On, and I just could not get that number.
Right.
You know, so anyway, it finally got just to the point where I just had to pick a random number. So anyway, you can it will say that we're not available and to leave a message. Some sexy British lady will say that. So Excellent. Just leave a message under 10, 15 seconds.
We got a sexy British
lady? Well, even have some contests.
Well,
maybe like,
voices.
You know, invent your own lyric or a limerick.
That'd be
or,
great.
You know, something coming up. And
Give we'll us have, your limericks.
We won't do that right now. We're not going to do the limericks right now, but maybe some Dear Demon Lord.
Dear Demon Lords, I would love.
Maybe we'll do that this coming up week. If you want to ask the Demon Lord a question, Skype in with that number and leave a message.
Sounds good to us.
Wait, could I bitch about something before we wrap up the show? I meant to do this at the start of the show, but I forgot.
The last bitch.
All right, so I wake up this morning. I'm getting ready to come over here. I turn on the television, and what's on? But the new Looney Tunes cartoon.
Oh, I saw it.
Okay, have either of you seen this?
No,
yet?
I didn't know it was
it's
out.
The new Bugs Bunny cartoon.
The Extreme?
Oh, mm-hmm. my... What's it called?
Lunatics.
Lunatics. It sucks.
It's so bad.
I was so upset when I saw this piece of crap
it
oozing out of my TV set.
So incredibly bad.
It looks like Batman Beyond.
Okay? Where? It looks worse than Batman Beyond because it's not
I'm
drawn
saying
that
I'm that's the
well.
World that it's drawn in.
Yeah.
It's that future world that, with people, and then there's this super rabbit running around and...
Buzz
a wise cracking stereotypical like,
but it's not a comedy, it's like a superhero show.
It's a superhero show.
They make like one joke every, you know, like a superhero show.
Yeah.
Would.
Imagine the world of Batman Beyond where suddenly all of the Looney Tune characters become superheroes.
It's horrible.
Lame.
I was so shocked because I thought it was canceled too.
Okay.
I thought it was pulled off the air before.
The internet cartoon that you sent
that
me
I sent you guys
was really freaking funny. Did you watch that?
Did you see
no,
the buzz? Oh, you got to see it. Oh,
extreme.
Yeah. It's an extreme video that makes fun of the Lunatics
cartoon.
Bugs
Bunny comes down and
Buzz
like,
Bunny comes down and he
like,
shows.
I'm gonna
like,
punch your balls off because it's extreme.
Oh no, I did see yeah. that. That was great.
It's, yeah,
was
we'll great. Put a link to that if we don't if we didn't.
Okay,
know
but if anyone at
like,
Warner Brothers is
cry.
Listening to this, stop it.
Yeah.
Just stop the hurting.
Yeah.
Go back to making what you do well, which was the Batman series, Batman Beyond. You know, is Justice League still in production?
I don't know.
I think it's only on Cartoon Network.
You know,
now,
here's the thing. They've got libraries of stuff.
Yeah.
And they sit here and they go, gee, we've got Bugs Bunny, and we don't know what to do with him. And it seems like we should find a way to make money off of this library.
Yeah, but you know what? The weird thing was I saw Lunatics, and then that night I saw Corpse Bride. And at the beginning of Corpse Bride, they show... a Warner Brothers cartoon. They show the Killed a Wabbit,
Oh, did they?
And it was so funny because it was on the same day, and watching the real visible difference between those two things, it was so painful.
Heartbreaking,
you know.
But, I mean, I have never... I mean, I personally believe that Saturday mornings have gone to hell in a handbasket to begin with. But I have never seen our children's brains being assaulted by anything that wanted them to turn to pudding.
Yeah.
Like this cartoon drivel.
There's nothing
to write a letter.
Hey, Don.
Pudding.
All right, everybody.
The Simpsons. We didn't mention The Simpsons in geek humor.
Oh.
Well, there's plenty we didn't mention. We didn't mention all this. All
right. We're doomed.
Well, that's it for this episode.
Thanks for coming back, kids.
Thanks for coming back. We've got another episode coming up this next week. I'm going to post a game for everybody to download next week, and I'll talk about it, the rules, and I'm going to have... It's a card game that I made cards for.
And we've got a very special Halloween episode coming up that we haven't really thought about at all yet, but it's going to be really special.
I'm going to be locked on the set of Strong Medicine all this week, so...
Alrighty then. Well, I hope you guys all have a good geek week. Bye, geeks.
Rock it out.
Have a rockin' geek week.
Bye.